Okay, well, thanks for coming today, everyone. I'm really pleased to welcome Julianne Kisak. She is a registered nurse. She trained in Calgary in Canada and practiced there for much of her career up to this point, although she did get to spend a year working in Edinburgh as well. She's worked in a number of different settings, both public, private, and in a particular setting called Trim Gym, which I think she's going to talk about a good bit today. She's currently working in the MBA program at Saïd Business School, and so the framework that she's going to be putting forward today is something that it's a work in progress, and it's something that she's developing towards a possible business model with perhaps an obesity intervention output. So really looking forward to hearing about it today. The title of her talk is Health Promotion, Upstream Thinking to Combat Obesity.
Great. Thank you, Caroline. Thank you, everyone, so much for coming. I'm so excited to be here. Health promotion is definitely my passion, and I find opportunities like this are very exciting because, of course, being a nurse, coming to Oxford, doing an MBA, I don't get that much opportunity to talk about what I'm really excited and passionate in terms of health. It's mostly in a business framework, so this is a great opportunity for me to come and share with you what I'm really excited about. I'm going to start off with a bit of a personal example, and I want to see if any of you can relate to some of the concepts that I'm going to bring up. And it's just going to sort of set the stage for where my beliefs in health promotion come from and how I've started off and how I got to where I am today here in Oxford. All right, so here I am, 10 years old, and I'm absolutely terrified. It's a gorgeous fall day. It's warm out. You can feel the sun. The snow has melted away. There's amber and orange and red leaves all around me. And I don't see any of it. I'm absolutely terrified. My face is red, my palms are sweating, my heart is racing, absolutely racing. All I can hear in my head is, I can't do this. I can't do this. I'm not worthy of this. Look at everyone else. They're so athletic. I can't do this. All of a sudden, the gun goes off, and me and about 40 other 10-year-olds race in our first cross-country sprint ever. All I can feel is my feet turning to lead. I can't do this. I'm too fat. How can I think I can do this? It was a horrible experience. I didn't come last that day, but what I did realize is my frame of thinking. I can't do this. It was such a negative experience. I knew something in my life had to change. Fast forward about 6-7 years. It's high school now. Again, it's a beautiful fall day. The leaves are out. The air is crisp. There's a feeling of competition in the air. And this time, I'm excited. This time, I can still feel the adrenaline. I can still feel my hands sweating, my face red, my heart pumping. But I can do this time. I know I can do this. When the gun goes off again, I'm sprinting the 100-meter city final. I can feel my body. I can feel the physicality and the sense of strength that I've discovered in myself. I can do this. Now, can anyone see parallels and differences in those two examples? To me, what it comes down to is self-confidence, and more than that, the focus of an internal locus of control. So before, in the example, I can't do this. It was all I could think of. I can't do this. I had such a negative self-image that was based on my body image of being slightly overweight as a child, and from an external locus of control, so feelings that I was not in control of the situation. Those around me were in control of what they were doing, and I was not worthy of participating in this kind of experience, this race. After, there was, like I said, a major shift of locus of control. So I felt like I could do this. I felt good about it. I felt strong about it. When I talk about health promotion, this is where my personal sense of health promotion comes from. I live the transition from, you know, being unhealthy, being overweight, and conquering that, coming to a place of control and empowerment over risk factors in my own life and moving forward. And this has really brought me to where I am today through a nursing career, through lots of different routes in nursing and to want to focus on health promotion. So what is health promotion, actually? The World Health Organization describes health promotion as the process of enabling people to increase control over and to improve their health. So like I said, increasing control, to me, is exactly the key in terms of health promotion. Where we need to focus when we're trying to help people improve their health is giving them that control over their environment and over themselves, essentially, to have the self-confidence to think, yes, I am in control and I can affect my outcomes. So who am I? Caroline gave me a very nice introduction. Just to recap, I am an MBA student at the CIU Business School. I am a registered nurse. I started my training in Canada, so I worked as a registered nurse in Calgary for 5 years with a bit of a brief interlude where I went to Scotland to nurse. I was quite fortunate to travel nurse there for a year in Edinburgh. And I'm a former teacher of a program called Trim Gym, which I'm going to get into detail about as well. Basically, it's a behavior change program for older adults who are interested in losing weight. The purpose of my talk here today, basically, I'm just really excited to share my views on health promotion. I'm going to look at three different healthcare settings, a public setting, a private setting, and then again, as I mentioned, Trim Gym. And there's three key concepts that I take from all of these settings and linking everything together. And those three concepts are mainly upstream thinking. So in lots of traditional medicine and healthcare, we tend to focus downstream. Once people have had acute illness and end up in the hospital or need medical attention urgently, we look sort of downstream at treating the problem and how can we treat problems better. This health promotion, the way I think of it, is a shift completely to upstream thinking, taking healthy people or relatively healthy people and saying, how can we promote health in these individuals, give them control to enable them to continue being healthy throughout their lives? A focus on behavior change. So to me, in my personal example, the reason for my loss of weight and for my increased self-confidence and and sense of physicality was a behavior change. It was a lifestyle. It wasn't a diet. It wasn't, you know, someone restricting my calories every day. It was an actual lifestyle change where I decided, I'm going to play sports. You know, I was very intimidated. I was very scared, but I was fortunate as well to have people around me that encouraged me to join sports and play sports and learn to have self-confidence in my own body. So key thing there is behavior change and actually making it a lifestyle focus. And lastly, building self-confidence. And this is where I sort of have a unique insight into where I think health promotion could benefit in the future. And please, at any time, feel free to ask me questions. I would love to stimulate some extra discussion today, hear different viewpoints. Like I said, coming from nursing and business faculty, any other disciplines, I'm very interested in hearing your perspectives. So to start, public nursing experience. So I, like I said, I worked as a registered nurse in Canada and Scotland for 5 years. What this experience really taught me was health risk factors. So I worked in a neurology unit, which is strokes, head injuries, and spinal injuries. And it was the focus and working with the stroke patients that really gave me insight into health risk factors, especially, not limited to, but especially obesity, high blood pressure, and high blood sugar, which all tend to combine together into outcomes such as stroke and diabetes. Also, during this time working in public health, I suffered a back injury. And this really showed me the far-reaching consequences of obesity, because the reason for my back injury was that I was working with an obese client for 3 days, and I had good body mechanics when I was working with this person and lifting them. Having a stroke, lots of times you're helping people up to the washroom multiple times a day, so it was a lot of repetitive lifting and working and trying to enable this person to do their daily activities of living, but I suffered a back injury in the process, mainly because of the extra weight that this person carried. And this is quite common within the nursing profession. So it taught me, again, a personal example of the far-reaching effects of obesity. Public health. So I worked as a public health nurse as well, mainly in Canada. And this really gave me an interesting insight into, okay, So we know health promotion is looking at increasing control that people have over their health and giving them an internal locus of control. But in Canada, when people come to a community health center or a GP or somewhere, a primary care center, where you would expect them to have health promotion services delivered, there's major issues. Those issues, as I pointed out, are definitely accessibility, time, resources, and focus. Just as a comparison, how long would it take someone in the UK, in Oxford in particular, if you wanted to go see a GP or a primary health care provider to see just a health query, you know, you wanted a checkup, you're in general good health, but you wanted a checkup, how long would it take you to get access to that service?
A couple days.
Yeah. Always just walk in. That's excellent. To contrast, in Canada, before I left for Oxford, I wanted to see my GP and basically just have a health overview. You know, how am I doing? Is there anything else I can concentrate on? 4 months was my waiting list to get in to see a GP for this kind of service. So in Canada currently, and that's my city, you know, a specific example. However, it's illustrative of a more serious problem with accessibility within the system. Unless you have an actual acute illness, unless you have a problem, it's going to take a lot longer to get access to these types of health promotion services. In terms of time, the average length for a GP visit in terms of a health promotion service would be 15 minutes. So, I mean, really, if you're looking at trying to inspire people and motivate them, especially an overweight individual who's probably suffering from low self-confidence, all sorts of other issues in their lives that are affecting their weight, 15 minutes, you know, you basically walk in, unless you have an outlined, this is my problem, this is what I need help with, you know, what can you do for me, that's pretty much the end of the conversation right there. So in my mind, that is definitely a huge barrier to health promotion, especially in the healthcare system that I'm familiar with. As well as resources, I mean, we definitely have a lack of GP services, we have a lack of nursing staff, we have a lack of people interested in health promotion, maybe not interested in, I guess that's the wrong way to say it, but having the time and the resources to really work with people and spend the effort and time that's required. And a focus as well. Like I said, you know, a lot of the times because the system is so constrained, GPs are looking for, okay, what is the quick answer here? How can we help you to get on your feet, get back to work, etc.? Not, let's look back at your family history, let's take a detailed overview and find the cause root of the problem, if there is one, or just explore ways to make you more healthy overall. Private nursing experience. So identifying solutions, this is really how I conceive of upstream thinking. I worked for a company called Foothills Health Consultants in Calgary, which is a very unique company in that it was started 30 years ago by a very, very forward-thinking physician. At this time, just to give you a perspective, he had named health promotion, and in the University of Calgary, he thought, you know, what a great course this would be for students to take. You know, why can't we have more training in health promotion? Well, the university at this time wouldn't even hear of it. You know, they said that's irrelevant. You know, we need to concentrate on acute care. You know, people won't be interested in this kind of thinking. 30 years later, just last year, the University of Calgary named an honorary class in his honor. He since passed away in health promotion. So it just illustrates that he was very forward-thinking in these concepts. A visit to Foothills Health Consultants, just to give you an idea of what it is, clients can come into the clinic and basically have a health overview. So it's mainly for corporate executives and sort of elite people in the city who can afford it, or their company is paying for it, is more generally the scenario. So typically a client would come into the clinic, spend a full hour with the physician going through health history, any risk factors. I have a pamphlet I'll send around after that outlines the services, but essentially very comprehensive overview of their health history and all of health risk factors that they could potentially have in their lives. Then they would have a full physical. So in that hour time, they would have spent time talking and had their full physical. And after that, they would spend another hour with a kinesiologist who would be assessing their full fitness. So So including their weight and, you know, other biometric factors, they would be looking at their strength, flexibility, VO2 max, so their lung capacity, and all these factors. And when this client is done, they leave with a full handout of, okay, what are my risk factors? How can I get healthier? Even though I came in here thinking I'm in relatively good shape, what are the things I can do working forward so next year I score even higher on my level of health? So very comprehensive. The key difference is there, again, accessibility. So I was the only nurse there when I worked with Foothills. And basically our clients could phone up at any time and say, you know, Julianne, I have this this internet article on CoQ10. What do you think about that? Should I start taking it or should I wait? And, you know, it always made me think, what a unique environment that these people who are primarily quite educated but interested in their health can just phone up and have access to myself. And if I don't know the question, I have direct access to physicians who are on the cutting edge of integrative health and medicine and can answer these questions for people who want to be active and proactive in their health. So, I mean, to me, it was quite an inspiring setting, and I just thought, you know, this is a fantastic way of addressing health. TrimGym. So I worked for a company as well called TrimGym, and this is more targeted towards obesity and working with people who are overweight. So mainly targeted overweight adults, generally professionally educated and wanting to make a change in their life. What TrimGym really focused on was a non-diet approach. So we didn't even mention the word diet. It wasn't in our vocabulary other than to say we're not going to be focusing on a diet when you're here. Instead, we looked at behavior change principles. So are people thinking that they're ready to change? You know, they've identified that they're overweight, they've identified these things that they're not happy with in their life, but are they ready to actually take the steps and move forward and create a change, a lasting change in their life? And how we did this, we focused on a holistic approach. So we looked at all aspects of their lives. And in the very first session, we asked people to rate on a scale of 1 to 10. How good do you feel about your spiritual life? How good do you feel about your family life, your social life, your community life? And what was very interesting is many times people would identify areas in their life that they were very unhappy with in terms of maybe work or a relationship in their family. And throughout the program, you know, the more they could put effort into changing things that they were unhappy with in these other areas, the consequences to their health were really amazing in that they started to feel increased self-confidence. They started to feel like they were worthy of the physical activity that maybe they weren't initially. So holistic approach is very key to how TrimGym worked. Just as a bit of a mini case study, I had a client named Gwen. And typical TrimGym client, so she was professionally educated, you know, someone who's in the know about health risk factors. However, she still had a BMI over 30, so she was definitely obese. Excuse me. She would say, and this was very typical of our clients, I have no time for myself. So lots of times stay-at-home moms or professional people who, you know, I'm so busy in my life, I have no time for myself, I have no time to exercise. And, you know, it's inevitable. This is just going to keep going because there's no time for me. They would lots of times score quite low on a self-confidence assessment. So that was quite common. And a lack of awareness about health factors. So nutrition, basic nutrition, you know, eating a well-balanced meal. What does that actually look like? How can people, you know, eat balanced throughout the day? And exercise. So they're not physically active. And it's a barrier in terms of worthiness of being physically active. So, you know, having low self-confidence and looking at, say, a gym or that kind of environment and thinking, how can I fit in there? Like, I feel so different from people who are there that I can't really be worthy of going into that environment. I'm very intimidated of going into that environment and actually working out with people who are physically fit when I feel like I don't belong there, I don't have the self-confidence to go in there. So we would work on identifying those kind of feelings and really supporting people. The program itself was 3 months long, so participants would come for once a week. And within that week, they would have a session on by either a nurse, myself, or a dietitian going through health concepts, and then they would also twice a week have an activity program, so they would be doing light aerobics, this kind of thing, at their pace. So it wasn't like they had to step into a gym or an aerobics class where they felt very intimidated. It was very much scaled down to an environment where they felt welcomed and they felt comfortable.
Where were they taking part in these activities? Did you have links in the community?
It's run through the university. Yeah, that's a good question. The program is run through the university, and so we had access to facilities right there. There was a gym, there's a track, there's weights. So when they went through the sessions, they would either be with myself, like I said, a nurse or a dietitian in the classroom, and then the other two sessions per week, they would be with a personal trainer in a gym-type setting, either doing sort of light aerobics or learning about strength exercises, learning how to use weights, so that if they did decide to go on and use a gym when they were done or join any of these activities, that they knew how to walk into a gym and use the equipment and not feel intimidated or pressured by those barriers initially. That's a good question.
Did the program cost anything? Was it like just available for anyone?
No, that's a good question as well. So a big sort of part of why I guess I'm here and talking about this is both Trim Gym and Foothills Health Consultants came with a fee. So Trim Gym, I think, was about $400 for the 3 months. Foothills Health Consultants, to become a client or a member, was about $2,000 per year. So that's in Canadian dollars. So double that in terms of, or half that in terms of pounds. But I think that's key in terms of accessibility. So if you have people in the population who are A, motivated to seek out these services, and B, can afford them, then they can access them. However, I think there's a real discrepancy in terms of people who can't afford these services and aren't motivated to seek them out, and that's where we need to really look at integrating health promotion services into the public system and into the community. So assessing readiness for change in our clients was exceptionally important. We would typically go through these questions and, you know, really bring into the client's mind, okay, are you ready to change? Are you ready to be here? What are your goals? And can we help you in the current, you know, mind frame that you're in now? Just as a small example of something we would bring up in a Trim Gym class, and you can feel free to shout this out. What seems to come to mind when I say to you birthday?
Cake.
Exactly. And it seems so obvious to all of us, but really, why should that be obvious? Why should there be such a strong link between birthday and cake? You know, so these were some of the issues that we would discover and look into is our habits and how we form our habits throughout our daily lives. It's another one I use at the business school all the time because everyone's exhausted all the time. If you say, I'm exhausted, I need a blank.
Cake,
sugar, I need sugar, I need caffeine, I need something. But why isn't it, I'm tired, I need a nap? Exactly. It seems a logical sort of disconnect there. So the mission and the three key areas of focus of Trim Gym, again, coming back to the World Health Organization's definition of health promotion, Trim Gym sort of took that and said, okay, our mission is to actually empower the individuals. So actually becoming the definition of a health promotion service in my mind. The three key areas of focus, like I commented on, behavior change, so that was mainly my role, is talking about habit awareness, that kind of thing from a nursing perspective, nutritional education from a dietitian perspective, and then physical activity, like I said. Yep.
So you didn't talk to them about dieting. Is changing, say, portion sizes, is that a behavior change? Is that what you consider behavior change?
Yeah, I would say it kind of crossed over between behavior and dietary as well, because from a dietary standpoint, you want to make sure you have balanced meals, so your protein, your carbs, etc. From a behavior change side, you know, when are you eating your meals? How often are you eating your meals? Are you eating alone? Are you watching TV when you're eating your meals? What kinds of things are contributing to overeating in your daily life and that are part of your routine?
So in terms of you saying that diet wasn't a focus, it was more to say that there wasn't any kind of prescriptive
exactly
you should be eating this
exactly
track of
yeah
food
And we did actually keep track of food. We had a food record, but the purpose of the food record was to balance your meals. So what actually ended up happening to most participants was that they ended up eating more than they had been before, but it was when they were eating, how they were eating, and why they were eating that actually changed. And we had amazing success in terms of our clients' actual weight loss without a focus on dieting. We never cut calories, you know, we never suggested that. What we did say is you need to be eating the proper things at the proper time and the proper place, okay, and with the proper people around you. So definitely different from your typical dieting or Weight Watchers or Jenny Craig, where they're actually restricting calories and counting calories. Lots of times, like I said, our clients, and they were given a recommended daily allowance in terms of meats, fruits and vegetables, grains, etc., that was worked out by the dietitian, tailored to their body type and their body requirements. And lots of times they were actually eating more throughout the day than they had been before, but at the end they still had lost a significant amount of weight. So just to give you a quick overview of the weekly progression through the Trim Gym weeks, we alternated between behavior change and dietary, like I said. And that's just to the end, week 12. We would just do the review of progress. And lots of times, I mean, we had amazing success. It was always wonderful to hear people's comments. And lots of times at the end of the program, it wasn't necessarily even the weight. Even though people had lost, you know, 20, 30 pounds sometimes, it wasn't the comments about the weight loss. It was more, I feel so much energy. You know, I feel so good about myself when I go into work. And this is what we really tried to focus on, you know, was that sort of sense of empowerment and control in their lives rather than focusing on the numbers or the actual weight loss.
Did you have any follow-up with people after they left the program? So you saw them for the 3 months.
Yeah.
Actually, after 3 months, 6 months, whether this behavior changed,
yeah,
to sustain.
Good question.
Beyond the program.
Yeah. The unique thing about Trim Gym and sort of why I really like the concept of it was a lot of people kept coming back. And so the way it's set up is that you can continue with the fitness classes after the course portion ends. You have to pay for those courses. But Trim Gym had clients that had started 25 years ago and were 75 when I started teaching and had been coming that entire time. And so it really illustrated the behavior change. In terms of actual follow-up, I'm not sure, to be honest, in terms of stats on how they kept in touch with these clients. But from that point of view, there was large groups of clients that kept going and returning to the program, you know, for multiple years, either to do the entire class again because they liked the support around them and they didn't feel that when they finished the program that they were ready to continue that behavior change on their own. Or because they just like the social atmosphere, you know, other people that understood where they were coming from, that kind of thing.
And so, just to clarify, I'm glad you just said that all of these were in a classroom type setting, so
yes,
everybody would go through the three-month time period,
yes,
together.
Exactly.
And about how many people would go through it together at a time?
It varied. We would have, the smallest class I ever had was about 7, and the largest class I ever had was probably 25, 30. Yeah, so it was a really nice atmosphere for people to come, and, you know, if we got great group cohesion, you know, lots of times it was amazing to go through the session and see people change and open up and share things with the group that they were struggling with or, you know, that they wanted a different perspective on, this kind of thing, and it really lent to their self-confidence and that type of thing throughout the program. So client outcomes, what we always hope to achieve afterwards was an increased internal locus of control for the client, knowledge of healthy behaviors, so very important, nutrition and habit awareness, confidence with physical activity, so that when they left, they felt confident to actually go to the gym or to say, I can go for a run now, you know, I'm not embarrassed, I feel worthy that I can do this for myself. Excuse me, a new lifestyle approach, so not the traditional dieting, but actually a lifestyle, and usually weight loss. So building self-confidence. Now this is where my sort of twist comes in, I guess. And just to illustrate, again, and where these ties, where I get these ties from, Has anyone heard of Anthony Robbins or Dale Carnegie before? Yeah. Yes, some are saying yes, some are saying no. What they both are is motivational organizations and public speaking organizations. Or Anthony Robbins is more motivation, whereas Dale Carnegie is more public speaking. But from a personal example, the first time I ever stood up in front of an audience, I was 10 years old in my first cross-country race again. My hands were sweating, my heart was pounding. I was terrified all over again. And through Dale Carnegie and learning about public speaking and actually trying it, it was the exact same transformation that I had gone through when I first started becoming physically active. And so this really led me link in my mind, you know, what is the connection here? And to me, it was really the increase of self-confidence and the focus on behavior change. Anthony Robbins does seminars, you can see in the bottom corner there, where he has thousands of people come. Has anyone been to an Anthony Robbins? No? It's really an interesting experience, for different reasons, I suppose, but just the group dynamics and the amount of motivation he's able to cultivate from the group. And what I thought when I went to one of these for a work training session was that he's using the exact same behavior change components as we use in Trim Gym. And I thought that was so fascinating because his outcomes are slightly different in terms of he's not focusing on weight loss per se, but he is looking to improve people's self-confidence in terms of any aspect of their lives using the exact same techniques that we were using in Trim Gym. And the amount of sort of buy-in that he gets, I just thought, you know, it'd be so amazing if you could take this kind of atmosphere and this kind of energy into a situation where you have people who are suffering from low self-confidence and being overweight and use some of the same techniques to inspire them in similar ways. So I'll get into sort of more of my thoughts on that in a moment, but a little bit more motivation there. So what next? I really think that going forward, and what I want to focus my research and studies on, is increasing health promotion within the public. Basically, even the Oxford Primary Care Trust, this is taken from their strategic plan for 2008 to 2013, points out specifically that they're going to be concentrating on health promotion areas and ways of focus. And I really think that, you know, looking at accessibility, timing, resources, and focus are going to be extremely important to avoid what's happening in Canada, where, yes, there is a focus on health promotion, but because of these factors, it's not actually occurring. Public-private partnerships. So if we look at the example of Foothills Health Consultants, my thoughts there are how can we get buy-in from either multinational corporations or big private firms to actually fund public health initiatives and health promotion, looking at even reducing sick hours, this type of thing, and get funding for those who can't actually afford these services. Again, sort of a non-traditional, not downstream focus, but an upstream focus, so a shift in thinking, which is definitely occurring, as illustrated by the Global Health Initiative put out by the NHS this year. There definitely is a focus on to health promotion and preventative care rather than acute care. And looking at children as well, I think, you know, from my own personal example and from, you know, what we're seeing today in terms of trends of obesity in children, I think it's going to be key to sort of combat the video game age and this culture of sort of sedentary lifestyles that is happening both in North America and the UK, where kids aren't being as encouraged to be active. Stems from having parents working and lots of other issues that I'm sure you guys probably explored more than I have. But ideas going forward. So in terms of an entrepreneurial venture, what I have been working on in terms of a business model is combining all of these elements. So looking at a program that would support behavior change, being a three-month program because it's known that within 3 months you can actually create a behavior or change a habit. So a program that would be 3 months long, again looking from a holistic kind of nursing perspective, similar to how Trim Gym addressed obesity, but looking at the person as a holistic being, multidiscipline approach, so looking at psychology factors, health factors, all sorts of these different factors and how they combine, and how can we build self-confidence. So my idea in this sense is to create a Dale Carnegie-style atmosphere where clients come into a situation, they're encouraged to explore these issues in health through actually public speaking. So they are, on the one hand, actually learning about health, learning about nutrition, learning about similar topics that they did in Trim Gym or would in Trim Gym, but they're actually, during a session, getting up and speaking and experiencing, hopefully, the increased self-confidence that comes with a program such as Dale Carnegie or an Anthony Robbins-style behavior change while looking at health. In terms of PhD or DPhil research, I'm really interested in public-private collaboration. So how can we sort of marry these two? How can we, going forward, ensure that we're not having that two-tiered system, that we're actually creating a collaborative approach and bringing the two together to support health promotion? And services such as Foothills Health Consultants provides, but affordable and available to people who couldn't necessarily afford it otherwise.